from the Cyber Hub bunker and studio. You're tuning in to the Cyber Hub podcast. And now for your host and CISO, James Azar.
Good morning, security gang. Welcome to another episode of the Cyber Hub podcast. You know what day was yesterday? It was Patch Tuesday. For those who don't know what Patch Tuesday is, it's the most dreaded day of the month for many IT, infrastructure, and cybersecurity people. It's the one day a month where every single vendor in the world thinks that releasing their security patches on this very one day is going to make us all much more secure. And with that being said, let's kick off this morning's episode. Good morning. Please subscribe. Make sure to follow us on Substack, on your favorite podcast listening platform. Again, I am traveling, and so and studio goes under construction this week. So, you know, it's we're going to have a lot of fun over the next few weeks as we figure out how this thing goes. And being that I'm traveling, again, couldn't find a double espresso. And the quote of the day yesterday, apparently for many people, was be better than Starbucks. So I'm going to be better than Starbucks. I don't have a drink. I'm not in a weird part of the country. I'm in New York State, but nonetheless, I've been a bit slacking here because of scheduling with going and getting some Celsius like I did last week. So I apologize, but I will join you in a coffee cup cheers this morning. I hope whatever beverage that's powering you through the show and through this day is one that fulfills you and gives you energy and good spirits. Coffee cup cheers, y'all. Now let's go ahead and get the show going. Microsoft, for their end, had roughly 150 vulnerabilities released yesterday as part of their Patch Tuesday. That's the highest number of fixes for Microsoft since 2017. Two of the vulnerabilities they solve are exploited zero-day vulnerabilities that were used to deliver malware. One of them, CVE-2024-26234, Microsoft described as an important severity proxy driver spoofing vulnerability. Sophos reported the issue to Microsoft back in December of last year, became aware of the malicious attacks after receiving a report for an alleged false positive detection on an executable file signed with a valid Windows Hardware Compatibility Program certificate. Further analysis revealed that it was in fact a malicious backdoor filing apparently associated with an Android screen mirroring application named LiC. The app is described as a marketing software that can be used to connect hundreds of mobile phones and control them in batches and automate tasks like batch following, liking, and commenting to grow your audience. Oh, wow, Microsoft, there you go. It's unknown whether these developers were actually in on it or whether their app was being used for that as well. So there's a whole bunch of stuff around that. The other CVE, CVE-2024-29988, does confirm CVE-2024-26234 is being exploited in the wild. I apologize here. My notes are a bit off. The second vulnerability, CVE-2024-29988, that is according to Trend Micro Zero Day Initiative, is a smart screen prompt security feature bypass that has been observed as being exploited in the wild. It can be used to bypass the mark of the web security feature, according to Peter Granis over at ZDI, who's been credited by Microsoft for reporting the vulnerability. These are the kind of water Hydra attacks that we've seen exploiting CVE-2024-21412, very similar to this one, and deliver a piece of malware named DarkMe to financial market traders. So all in all, Microsoft shops have a very, very, very busy day. I'm sorry, skipped one here. If you're an Adobe shop, you want to make sure you get your Adobe Commerce and Magento open source all scheduled for patching immediately. It's part of the scheduled Patch Tuesday update. The companies put two externally reported Adobe Commerce vulnerabilities in the critical severity category, cautioning that successful exploitation could lead to arbitrary code execution. Adobe also flagged the security issues in the Adobe Experience Manager, documenting at least a dozen flaws there that lead to arbitrary code execution and security feature bypass. Adobe also rolled out patches for memory leaks in Adobe After Effects and Adobe Photoshop, as well as InDesign. Both Windows and Mac OS versions are all affected, and the denial of service and code execution issues in Adobe and Animate software. They're not aware of any in-the-wild exploitation of those, but mind you, give it some time. They'll be there typically within 24 hours. Industrial giant Siemens and Schneider Electric have both also published their OT Patch Tuesday advisories for April 2024, informing customers about vulnerabilities found in their ICS products in the past month. Siemens published 8 new advisories covering a total of roughly 80 different vulnerabilities. One advisory covers nearly 50 flaws found in the company's telecontrol server basic product, particularly in third-party components. So not the necessarily a Siemens component, but potentially Siemens working on really shoring up their supply chain, working with different third parties that are part of their build, had some components in those devices, and they've worked together to really get those up. The company also announced patches for 3 critical arbitrary code execution vulnerabilities in the Scalance W1750D access point, which are rebranded Aruba devices. 2 advisories cover vulnerabilities introduced by the use of Palo Alto Networks' virtual next-gen firewall. The flaw impacts Siemens' rugged COM APE 1808 industrial application hosting platform, which enable organizations to deploy commercially available applications for edge computing and cybersecurity in harsh environments. One of these advisories focuses on an attack named Terrapin, which would allow an attacker to intercept SSH traffic on Palo Alto Network products to downgrade connection security. The second advisory covers 6 vulnerabilities discovered in Palo Alto's network's PAN-OS software in 2022 and 2023, including a flaw that was exploited for a DDoS attack back in 2022. RuggedCOM also uses technologies from Fortinet and Nozomi, and Siemens previously informed customers about the vulnerabilities in the products of these vendors. Siemens also informed customers about vulnerabilities in the Symatic S7100 Linux component issue, the Synec NMS, the Parasolid, and the Symatic Win CC products. There, Schneider Electric published only 1 advisory this month, informing customers of a high severity privilege escalation vulnerability affecting its Esergy Studio product. So there's that. SAP released their what they call security notes, addressing the most severe security misconfiguration issue that CVE 2024-27899, a CVSS score of 8.8, that's in the NetWeaver AS Java User Management Engine. This would allow users to self-register, modify their profiles, but the 2 optional features do not adhere to existing password requirements, accepting simple passwords. Instead, the 2 features are disabled by default, and customers can enable either or both as part of the update. They also address the high severity information disclosure flaw in Business Objects Web Intelligence, and a high severity directory traversal bug in asset accounting. All in all, you want to get those updated as well. We move on to some ransomware news today, where ransomware doesn't take a break for Patch Tuesday. In fact, it may only increase given the amount of vulnerabilities that exist in the environment, the amount of logical time it would take for a company to patch it, and how quickly threat actors kind of come together in the decentralized fashion that they operate in order to develop exploits, gain persistence, and then launch these types of attacks. GPI Genius, a database company used by numerous media organizations in Germany, announced that their servers were unavailable due to a massive cyber attack. They called it a hacker attack, but this was translated from German to English. And cyber and hacker are very, very similar in German. In a post on LinkedIn, Genius said the incident was a ransomware attack and cautioned, unfortunately, they have to assume there will be an outage for several days. Their communication options are also limited, and they'll try to get back online as soon as possible. The Munich-based company is a subsidiary of 2 major German corporations, the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung and the Handelsblatt Media Group. Alongside media entities, the company's databases are widely used by universities and libraries in Germany. A spokesperson has said that the systems and subsidiaries were not affected. Only those applications from our archives, which are hosted by Genius, are currently not available. So all in all, they're trying to reel from that cyber attack. A nonprofit healthcare service provider group, Health Cooperative of South Central Wisconsin, is disclosing a ransomware gang breached its network in January, stole documents containing personal health information and medical information of over 500,000 patients. The attackers couldn't encrypt the compromised devices, which allowed it to secure its systems with the help of external cyber incident response experts and bring them back online after they were isolated to contain the breach. The breach occurred on January in the early morning hours of January 25th. They've identified unauthorized access to their network. Their IT department purposely isolated and secured their network, causing several of their systems to be temporarily unavailable. On February 9th, during the investigation, they discovered indications that the attacker had copied some of their data, which included protected health information. The discovery was confirmed when the attacker, a foreign ransomware gang, contacted a GHC, claiming responsibility for the attack and stealing the data. Health data stored during the January ransomware attack includes affected individuals' names, addresses, phone numbers, email addresses, date of birth, or death, social security numbers, member numbers, Medicare and Medicaid numbers. Although it didn't provide the exact number of people affected, additional information shared with HHS shows the amount of infected people on this breach is 533,809. In response to the incidents, GHC says it took security measures to prevent such breaches from happening again, tightening existing controls, data backup, and user training. This ransomware attack was being claimed by the Black Suit ransomware gang. So there's that there as well. Security researchers have now disclosed what they say is the first native Spectre version 2 exploit against the Linux kernel on Intel systems that could be exploited to read sensitive data from memory. The exploit called Native Branch History Injection can be used to look arbitrary kernel memories at a 3.5 kilobyte per second by bypassing existing Spectre V2 BHI mitigations. Researchers from Systems and Network Security Group at Virage University in Amsterdam said in a new study, the shortcomings being tracked to CVE-2024-2201. The BHI was first disclosed by VUSEC in March of 2022, describing it as a technique that could get around Spectre V2 protections in modern processors from Intel, AMD, and ARM. While the attack leveraged extended Berkeley packet filters, Intel's recommendations to address the problem, among other things, was to disable Linux unprivileged EBPF privilege managed runtimes that can be configured to allow an unprivileged user to generate and execute code in a privileged domain. The kernel can be configured to deny access to an unprivileged EBPF by default, which still allows administrators to enable it at runtime when needed. So there's now that there as well being disclosed. And in response to the findings, AMD said that the vulnerability is rooted in the Linux kernel implementation of SevSMP that fixes addressing some of the issues that have been upstreamed to the main Linux kernel. So kind of being dismissive, saying something we can easily fix. Threat actors can exploit a security vulnerability in the Rust standard library to target Windows systems in a command injection attack. CVE-2024-24576 is due to an OS command and argument injection weakness that can let attackers execute unexpected and potentially malicious commands on the operating systems. GitHub rated this vulnerability as a critical severity with a maximum CVSS base score of 10 out of 10. Unauthenticated attacker can exploit it remotely in low complexity attacks and without user interaction. The Rust Security Response WG was notified that the Rust standard library did not properly escape arguments when invoking batch files on Windows using the command API. An attacker able to control the arguments passed to the spawn process could execute arbitrary shell commands by bypassing the escaping, and the severity of this vulnerability is critical if you're invoking batch files on Windows with untrusted arguments. No other platform or use is required. All Rust versions before 1.77.2 on Windows are affected if a program's code or one of its dependencies is invoked and execute files with untrusted arguments. Again, we move to Rust, and there's a big move for Rust programming because it's a far more secure language. It doesn't mean that it's not going to have vulnerabilities. That's one, and there's a whole bunch of ways to address this specific vulnerability. So you want to make sure you get this checked out internally. And finally, the Medusa cybercrime gang is taking credit for another attack on another U.S. municipality, this time the Tarrant County Appraisal District in Texas, which determines property values for tax purposes in the Fort Worth area, confirmed that 2 weeks ago it was a victim of a ransomware attack. The Medusa cybercrime gang took credit for the incident, threatening to leak nearly 218 gigabytes worth of data in 6 days if a $100,000 ransom is not paid. County officials did not respond to requests for comments about whether the ransom would be paid, but they released a warning on the 3rd of April that about 300 people had their data accessed by the attackers. So again, ransomware rampant, all too common at this point and affecting many. That's it for our show this morning. We'll be back tomorrow to wrap up this very, very busy week for so many practitioners. Good luck to all y'all patching these vulnerabilities. And again, a big takeaway from today's show for anyone watching is prioritize not what's important to Microsoft, but what's critical for your business. Sometimes those align, sometimes they don't. And a 4 vulnerability could be a 10 because of the way it's implemented, the data processes, and everything it supports in your organization. So you're shifting through a lot of different vulnerabilities. You're shifting through a lot of different patches. Prioritize them based on the needs of your business. Get the right stakeholders involved and get this stuff patched ASAP. You got to remember that within 24 hours of this, threat actors are already building exploits, looking for persistence in order to be able to steal data, drop malware, or otherwise disrupt your business. So we've got to be quick there as well. That's it for our show. Thank you all for tuning in. Have a great rest of your day. Most importantly, stay safe.
We love feedback, so make sure to connect with us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.